everybody. Welcome to the Dean Blundell Show here at DeanBlundell.com. I assume we're streaming live on the website, right? Is that where it is? Is it DeanBlundell.com today? Oh, yeah. Sean Sargent, who's behind the screen. Pretty sure we are. Anyway, welcome. It is New Year's Day. Nobody does this shit on New Year's Day but us. I think everybody's off except for us. But that's because we wanted to get together and it was a good excuse to do it. Happy New Year to you. Merry Christmas, everybody. Podcast, of course, brought to you by friends of Blue Microphones and Owner's Box Fantasy Sports, as well as Ed's Fine Imports. Want to get to it before we get too far down the road. It's a New Year's Day roundtable today, which is a cheesy radio way of saying we have four guys today. We got four dudes.
Awesome. So
please welcome to the show today, Lachlan Cross from Cruise 95.7 Cruise FM, morning guy in Edmonton. Locker, how are you? You all right?
I'm a little off today. I'm hungover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll get through.
You're not the only one. Really nice to see you. This is what I call answering the fucking bell, by the way, Locker. You've answered the bell. You're not getting paid.
Thank you.
I
appreciate it.
It's noon there. You should still technically be in bed. You raged last night, and you're here, so thank you. James DeFiore from blackballmedia.ca, as well as dope-ass rapper James DeFiore. he joins us as well. Hey, buddy, how are you? You hungry?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Are you feeling a little weird this morning, or did you stay off the sauce last night?
Oh, no, I didn't. Last night I had one Corona.
Yeah.
And I had seven joints. And that was my New Year's. But that was like from like 1 PM. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you. Well, it doesn't hurt you, right? The weed just makes you.
I got to get on the pot.
You really
and
do.
Plus my wife goes to bed now when the kids go to bed. So it's like 8:00. So from like 8 until, you know, midnight, I'm just hanging out in front of the laptop looking like a fucking single dude, you know?
You and me both. That's what I do every day, all day. So it's no different. It's not bad. In case things go sour, it's not bad being on your own. I just wanted to point that out. Darren Pfeiffer also joins us from the rock and roll band Goldfinger, the host of the Dangerous Darren podcast at Adobe Radio, the Dangerous Darren Show, USA booster. Listen, we're in the middle of the World Junior Hockey Championships. Locker's in Edmonton where it's going on. Darren is in LA where they're locked down and fucked because of the COVID. James is in Killaloe, Ontario. Small town, beautiful little spot. I got to tell you, Locke, I watch you tweet all week about the World Juniors. In game yesterday, you were like, that's my guy. Dylan Cousins breaks it open in the fourth. Are you that into it? Because I'm not. And are you only that into it because it's in Edmonton?
No, I've been a fan forever. I usually take these 2 weeks off. This is the first weekend, the week of the tournament that I haven't had off in years because I'm such a big fan of the World Juniors. But it is also the right time zone. So
yeah.
I love the NHL and I love watching hockey. But this is something different. And I know some people don't like it because of the blowouts, because, you know, Team Canada, Team USA, Team Russia, I mean, they kind of walk over some of the other countries. Mm-hmm. But there has been a lot. That divide has been getting smaller over the last, I'd say, 5-6 years. There isn't as many blowouts.
Well, not especially lately. Lately, Canada 4-1, that's a close game.
Finland yesterday, yeah. Yep.
Finland against Finland, America 4-0 against Sweden. And these are two games that I was afraid for Canada because Finns won it. I think they won it. No, they didn't win it last year. They won it the year before, but against the Finns.
Yeah.
They're notoriously in this tournament a good hockey team. So I thought the Finns were going to put up a bigger fight, just like I thought the Swedes were going to put up a bigger fight against the Americans, and they did not. So now the games are a little bit more closer.
Yeah.
Did you watch, Darren, did you watch the game yesterday?
I watched almost every game.
Okay, yeah, I've been watching most of them as well. The Canadian team, these kids they're unbelievable, man. What they did to that Finnish squad, I don't think the Finns got a shot on net in the first 15 minutes of the period. They closed on them in their end. It was crazy. I haven't seen such a dominant performance from a World Junior, Canadian World Junior team in a lot of years. That was impressive. I look forward to Canada, U.S. though. That's always a great matchup, man.
Well, we've got you got U.S. I think the U.S. finished second, Canada finished first. So the Canada, Darren and I were talking about it prior to this whole thing. I haven't been as into it as I have been in years past. I used to be like you, where I used to live, die, breathe, love, rite of passage every year. Boxing Day is when it starts. I was like that since I was a kid. I remember watching John Slaney score the winner in Saskatoon. Do you remember that back in, what was it, 1989 or 1990? Eric Lindros was on the team. Manny Legacy was on that team as well. And I
remember, that was the year after the brawl in the Russia, remember?
Yeah, I remember that, where they shut off the lights. Yeah, yeah.
Got the lights off, yeah.
Theo Fleury started that whole thing, by the way.
Yes,
good Calgary guy. But for some reason, I think it's just the world's so fucking heavy. I haven't really focused my attention on Canada's World Junior team. But I will say, I watched the entire game yesterday against Finland, and the shots were 17-1 in the first fucking period. They were up 1-0, and I thought, this is going to be a blowout. But you're right. I have never seen Canada hem a team in like that in the last few years. We've had some embarrassments for teams. We expect to win it every fucking year. But I have to ask you, now that it's in Edmonton, you being as big a fan as it is and not being able to go to the games is a piss you off, I'd be fucking furious.
Yeah, well, I've gone a couple of times. I've actually been at the tournament live a few years, and it's just crazy that it's like just down the road from me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so it is, I'm trying not to let it bother me, because what they did was they're going to bring the tournament back to Edmonton again next year, and then they pushed everybody up a year, right? So if we can get everybody vaccinated, and you know, in 2021 isn't a complete gong show like 2020, mm-hmm. and the tournament's back, I might be in the stands next Christmas.
Good for you. That's one of those things you have. If you haven't been to a World Juniors, and I have, I was in Saskatoon, and where's the last one? Toronto, Buffalo. Excuse me, I was in Buffalo, but it's fucking like the last time you're going to see hockey players this good play for free. You know what I mean? Like it really means something to these kids, because we all,
for you, because you're Dean Blundell, but the people have to pay.
No, I meant for them. They're not getting paid. These kids, right? Like, and I think that's the exciting part. You're right. I got great tickets to VIP. I was allowed to go anywhere I fucking wanted. It was the best. Didn't have to pay for shit.
Hook me up.
I will. I promise. Outside of that, everybody okay? James, you're, and I said,
I wanted to quickly add something, that I'm a big hockey fan. I'm a big basketball fan. I even like baseball, but all sports sucks with no fans, all of it. I don't care about it. It's like exhibition games. It's not exciting. They add the like applause cannon, and I'm not buying it. And it just doesn't feel right. So I can't watch any sports right now when there's no fans.
Sort of a pussy perspective, isn't it? A little bit.
No, like, it's not a pussy way of thinking.
Sort of is.
It's just, there's no energy. It would be like going to a concert and there's just no fans, and the rock band is playing.
Awesome.
They're playing the same songs, but you're just sort of sitting there on the grass.
Yeah,
that's
bad. How?
Well, it's different. That's kind of apples oranges, because we watch sports on TV. We're used to it. We're used to turning on the TV and seeing a hockey game or a basketball game. The no fans is weird. The piped in audiences is a little odd, but I'm such a fan, I don't give a shit.
I think we all like remember. I remember I was an Expos fan, and I remember all the announcers for the away teams would always say the same thing. It's like a fucking museum in here. It's hard to get up for the game when it's so quiet and there's no fans. There's like 4,000 fans. Same thing with Carolina Hurricanes. It was always like a tomb, yada yada. So there, we knew that there was no energy in stadiums before, when fans didn't show up, and now we're pretending that there's energy even though there's no fans. So that's,
well, the Bills just announced, my Buffalo Bills, I might add, just announced that they're selling
one of the 16, best sports 000, stories of the year, by the way,
16,000 seats for their game. Mm-hmm. Not this week, because they're playing the Dolphins in week 17, but after that there's the playoff game. They're letting Cuomo, the governor of New York, said, yeah, you can let some fans in, social distance. It's important to the city of Buffalo. It's important that they let some fans in. They haven't been in the playoffs or this high in a long time. So it's a big deal.
Yeah.
What will those tickets cost?
I think it's only for season tickets. It only goes season ticket holders get access. I don't think it's to the general public.
Yeah.
Why don't they just allow only people who aren't seniors or sick, and they just only let those fans in?
I've been talking about this for months, James. I mean, if they found a way to test people really quickly, like 30 seconds, 1 minute, like diabetics, yeah, then we could really go back to normal. Like, the vaccines are great, and I'm glad that the scientists have spent a lot of time getting these vaccines approved, and now we just got to get them out into the world, because we're way under quota here in the United States. Way. Mm-hmm. Only 2 million, 3 million people have been vaccinated. That's
dude, we're far worse than you guys. Dude, we are so worse than you.
Yeah.
You guys are ten times our population or whatever, and I think your vaccination rate is like
3.5 times.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, I thought it was 4, but yeah, so but 3.5 times as big as ours, like it's insane.
Well, that hopefully should change in 3 short weeks when Biden comes in and starts pulling strings and getting money allocated to the states and comes up with a plan, because there's no plan. Like, Moderna and Pfizer are like, we got all this stuff, but where do we send it, federal government? And they're like, chirp, cricket, cricket, chirp.
Yeah.
What's the problem in Canada? Does anybody know why it's taking so much time right now?
Yeah. Yes, we do. It's because Trudeau and the provincial governments didn't have a flow through plan, as far as I understand. Okay. And James, you might be able to shed some light on it, because it's a fucking shitty deal. I did some research this last week, and they judge vaccination efforts by the 100,000s per week, right? So it's a percentage of 100,000 people per week. Canada's dead last in developed nations, dead last when it comes to vaccinating people. We vaccinate 10 people out of 100,000 per week. The United States is considered, and their efforts, a fucking epic failure, right? Like, it's a broken system. You're doing like 46 to 50 fucking people a week. We're doing 10. Israel's like at 800 a week. Bahrain is at fucking, Thailand's at 200 a week. Canada's at 10. Yeah. And here's the fucking great part. Over the holidays, they just decided to close all the vaccination spots and clinics and not vaccinate everybody over the 2-day period. It's the most fucked up shit I've ever seen. And then you come to the point where Buffalo is playing meaningful home playoff games throughout the playoffs. They've got the second seed in the AFC. This is the first time literally in 25 fucking years that this team has legitimately got an opportunity to actually play playoff games at home, meaningful playoff games at home. It's like a fucking quarter century. You've got the World Junior Hockey Championships in Canada. You've got people at home. And here's the fucking crazy part to me, is 3 days ago, we found out that Finance Minister Rod Phillips, Finance Minister of Ontario, Rod Phillips, who was telling everybody to stay home. He was like, guys, you can't go anywhere. It's too fucking dangerous. Everybody stay in your houses. We don't want you out and about. Don't go anywhere over Christmas. Huddle up. Get in front of the fucking fireplace. This fella who was telling everybody to lock down, who ordered the lockdown, who's on the advisory committee to lockdown, this fella, Rod Phillips, took off to go to St. Bart's on a private yacht from the 12th of December up until yesterday, which is when he got home, when he was promptly fired by Doug Ford, who okayed the trip. I don't know, James, if I've ever in my life seen a reaction like this to a politician's Christmas trip. Like, it has caused so much fucking discomfort for the political party that is currently running the province of Ontario, which is the Conservative Party of Canada. And now I'm hearing rumors that fucking Trudeau is in the Barbados.
Shouldn't you be pissed off at Doug Ford just as much as this other guy, Rod?
I'm pissed off at all of them because he knew about it. He was okay, and he lied about not knowing about it. It was the biggest fucking joke on the planet.
Now he backpedals and fires?
Yeah.
Fires the guy?
But while we're all in our houses...
Well, he resigned.
No, he got fired. He was told
he resigned. And yeah, that's true. Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
James, I would love your take on... the entitlement. I'd love your take on the selfish partisanship. I would love to hear you talk about not just the act itself and what it says to the rest of us and the 4,500 Ontarians who are dead as of this morning. But what is happening right now?
So I think what's happening is that this guy just seems like he was just in way over his head. He thought he could be slick and it just didn't work out. But the interesting, I think, aspect to a lot of this is that I don't know what the percentage is, but let's just say it's probably around 30, maybe 40% even of conservative party supporters that don't believe in masks, don't believe in social distancing, don't believe in the lockdown. And I don't know, I know they must be doing something, but I don't know if this is one of those political theater ideas where it's like, look, you'll go, if you get caught, part of our base will be like, well, fuck it, they shouldn't be law on lockdown anyways, you know, and whatever. I don't know. It would make interesting political theater, but because they have that sizable sort of chunk of their base that probably doesn't care if a man goes to a resort during a lockdown, I don't know if it's going to damage the party all that much. I know he resigned. I know Ford knew about it beforehand. I think in about a week, no one will care anymore. They have a big problem with that 40% chunk or whatever it is, 30 to 40%, where they have to now sort of like figure out how to walk that tight wire between sort of anti-vaxxer and sensible conservatives. And I don't know how they're going to do it because a lot of their public statements, like Michelle Rempel, I know it's not the the provincial party here, but you know, the federal MP, was all taken aback about how the CBC reporters were like vultures at the airport if she wanted to go and travel to the States to visit her family. And then the next breath is like, now we know we're supposed to be on lockdown. It's like, well, if you know you're supposed to be on lockdown, then why are you bitching about the CBC nabbing you at the airport? Like, so they have an interesting dilemma, right? Because, you know, they used to have that dilemma, but it was like with the extreme religious right. And they didn't know how to, like, especially during leadership races, they didn't know how to sort of like reconcile between not sounding like fucking crazy lunatics to the rest of the country come the general election, or and also sort of throw roses to those same rabid meat eaters that needed to hear about Jesus all the time, right? Mm-hmm.
I think we all know that person, though, that just thinks that the rules don't apply to them. I think that's what this is. Like, these are the rules, and we're even responsible for telling people about the rules, but that's for the average Joe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, this has been happening in one way or another since March or April or whatever. Like Justin Trudeau did a presser one morning saying, you know, we have to obey the rules. We have to make sure we don't get into large assemblies and this, that, and the other thing. And literally an hour later, walks into a crowd of 150 people and takes a knee for the cameras for some fucking photo op. And it's like, you know, all this doublespeak has been happening.
It's not just a Canadian thing, too. Gavin Newsom a couple months back got popped because he was telling people to stay at home.
Yeah, that's a governor of California, yeah.
And then he went up to Napa and was at a party in a restaurant, inside of a restaurant, people taking pictures of him. And he took a lot of heat for that. And
what do you think that says about them? Not us, because we know how we feel when someone says, do this, and we do it, and which is fucking crazy because we're willingly locking ourselves in our houses and keeping away from family members and loved ones and not going places, not going for fucking dinner. They're destroying small business, which I'm not even fucking angry, like as sad as shitty as it is. But what does it say? Like what, when someone like that who's entitled, who makes the rules, breaks the rules, to me, it says, I don't give a fuck if anybody dies from this thing. I don't really give a shit about anyone else other than me. Which is why, if you feel that way, you can't be a governor. You can't govern people. You can't be in a position of ministerial authority. You just fucking can't. So, but what does it say about them to you? What does it say about them?
Everybody interprets it different, but to me, Dean, it says you're a shitty guy. I mean, I really hate hypocrites. I've always,
yeah.
Do as I say, not as I do. It's like, practice what you preach, you know, like,
yeah.
Especially if you're a governor or if you're a premier or if you work in some level of government at any level, Canadian, United States, whatever, especially during a pandemic when real people are dying and real people are looking to a governor or looking to an MP or looking to elected official and saying, well, okay, you're telling me to do this. I'll do it because I don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it because you tell me to, and you're my leader and you're my governor and you're my this, you're my that. And then they're seen partying on the beach and going to restaurants in Napa and going to Barbados. And it's like,
did you see Bill de Blasio?
Me personally,
who's had New York on lockdown for months and months, and then shuts down Times Square, but then goes and dances with his wife on the empty stage.
There was an MVP area last night in Times Square where only the celebrities could hang out in.
Yeah, but it was frontline workers. If you guys see, there's a difference between getting pissy about little things like that. To me, if it's socially distant, the guy's the fucking mayor. If he wants to dance on the stage, he can dance on the stage. There's a very different thing there as far as hypocrisy goes than a guy like Rod Phillips going on a 3-week yacht vacation in the middle of a pandemic when no one's allowed to travel. Because it was so fucking premeditated. You see these pictures? I'm going to put up a series of pictures. So this guy, Rod Phillips, in November took these pictures and went door to door, business to business, meeting his constituents of Ajax, handing out these Christmas presents to these guys. And because it's in November, everybody's fucking surprised that this weirdo is coming around with a Christmas gift. So he premeditated. And his whole crew was like, this is a fucking great idea. We got to go out and take a whole bunch of pictures. And then over Christmas, what we'll do is we'll just kind of put them out day by day. You know, tonight our small business focus is on this shitty sandwich shop and the guy with the mask who hates his life. Congratulations. Merry Christmas. The guy's like, fuck you. Because so in all of this, the efforts that he went to hide this means
he wore a Santa hat.
Yeah, he should have. It would have been.
Didn't he wear the same shirt in Ontario as he did in St. Bart's, though, the one day?
Every picture. Yeah. And so he took that sweater down to St. Bart's so it would look like he was still and wore a sweater in St. Bart's on a fucking yacht.
That is the same fucking sweater.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And here's the great part. In a lot of the videos where he was conducting meetings with the background of Queen's Park behind him, you could hear waves from the ocean.
No, really?
Yes, dude. You could literally hear waves from the ocean. He's conducting a meeting and he's going, so I think we should do this and I think we should do that. And in the background, you just hear
And then, maybe his calm app was on his phone.
No, that was no app. That's why this is different to me. That's why this is different than being pissy about little things like people not wearing masks in a grocery store.
No, but I think what it is, the overarching flaw is hypocrisy. But there's this
sweater.
Hold on, go back. Hang on. Go back before James continues. And I love everything you have to say for the most part. Before James continues, it's true. You can't love everything. Rod Phillips went to the same sweater. Same pants. He recorded this video. It's a 2-minute Christmas greeting encouraging people to fucking stay home. And the great part is someone had to make the gingerbread house and pour him the eggnog and give him that book he's pretending to read to start. It is fucking the greatest cover up in the history of douchebags in the history of Canadian politics.
Christmas.
You know, it would be hilarious if the book was Mein Kampf. Someone fucked with him and gave him Mein Kampf. That would be gold.
The book of Satan.
He's like, hey, everybody, I'm just reading some Christmas cheer. How are you doing?
And the great part is it's like a kid's book. He's reading a child's book. And he's
maybe it's Get the Fuck to Sleep. Remember that book?
Oh, Samuel Jackson.
Hello, everyone. It's Rod Phillips.
Look at it. Play it again. He's like, oh, hi, you caught me reading. This is unfucking believable. Look at,
hello everyone. It's Rod Phillips.
Someone made the gingerbread house. Someone made the eggnog. And so look at that fucking sad tree they had to improvise at the bottom of the screen on the left.
Yeah,
there. He looks like Steve Kerr's unsuccessful brother.
He looks like Bobby Orr's more douchey brother too.
The one Hull brother that never played hockey. Look at him.
That's why this is different. And then you bring
up this guy got fired. You said he's fired.
He quit yesterday. Yeah, he landed. And I will give him credit. I will give him credit because I'm a huge fan of accountability. When someone fucks up, say you're sorry, move on, right? Take your lumps.
He was told. He was told you have to resign.
Yeah, I know, so, but when they got him at the airport,
you're proud of him for obeying the premier's office.
No, because when they got him at the airport, he took every bullet. He sat there going, I don't know what I was thinking. It was fucking stupid. It was really fucking stupid, and I'll take whatever comes my way. That's the only saving grace I find in this, because that's a month-long espionage Christmas effort on Twitter just so he could tell everybody in Canada he didn't give a fuck about their dead relatives. That's what it is to me.
Thanks, Navigator.
Is he scared of his wife? Maybe she had the trip planned and she's like, we're going to St. Bart's.
And he's like, I don't think we should. We're going.
I bet you that's huge. Probably 2-1. That's probably exactly what happened.
It's her fault.
You're right, James. He probably got home, got fired, and went to her and said, I got fucking fired. Thanks.
Do you know?
Have fun in St. Bart's.
I thought about
that. It's not my fault, you fucking stupid jerk.
Then you should have planned it better. Why didn't you wear the same sweater?
I told you we should have went to the Caymans.
Sorry. I told you to change sweaters.
Where's my bra?
Yeah.
In the fucking car, bitch.
I was thinking about that because this Christmas I was fucking so emotional. And I have no idea why I was like crying on Christmas morning and stuff, watching my kids open up presents and they're like adults. I'm like, oh, it's so nice you guys are opening up presents. I don't know what's going on here.
I do have a theory on that, but finish.
Okay, please. But it ties into Rod Phillips' wife, who I think we can all safely assume forced him to do that and caused his exit in politics. Because that was the only thing that made sense to me after that, because I just got out of a relationship and I could hear it in my head. And I got out of the relationship because this is the kind of stuff I fucking couldn't stand. I couldn't stand, I haven't been away for months. I'm like, well, fuck, it's the pandemic. No one's been away for months. I need to get out of here. I need to go for a dinner. No one's going for dinner. Well, you promised me we were going to go for dinner. So that's what's happened, is that Rod probably was like, listen, honey, we can't go anywhere. And she's like, do you like blowjobs?
This just in, blowjobs are amazing.
And so Rod Phillips, I think it's safe to say after the research we've done here, destroyed his career over wanting blowjobs. That would be the only way I could justify
Nailed it.
That all depends on whether or not Phillips has become what I call a sitcom husband, because I am a sitcom husband. A sitcom husband is like, if you don't say yes, dear, you're probably going to get into a fight.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, if she's happy, you're reasonably content.
Can I ask you guys something? Because this was my first single Christmas.
I could ask her.
And I
Cheryl.
Bring her in. And I wrote about it. I wrote about the single Christmas being the best Christmas I've ever had.
We need some information. If I say yes to you like 100% of the time, is that a good thing?
It's an excellent thing.
Yes, dear.
She won't. She's lying. She's lying through British teeth.
I'm just saying your wife.
You're a good husband, Phil. Oh, I mean, Darren.
My point is,
thank you.
Over the holidays, I wrote a piece on this being my first single Christmas, because I was like, again, emotional, and I'm trying to figure out how I get through this emotion that causes these things that I hate, feelings. And I wrote about it. And as I'm writing about it, it was like uncovering all the layers of the onion. I was I realized through writing it that not having to go to someone's house for Christmas Eve, drive home on Christmas Eve, get up on Christmas morning, rush through fucking presents, pack all the presents in proper bags, because we're going to do a tour, don't you know? So make sure you got these bags are first, these bags are second. Don't squish the fucking casserole, Dean, whatever you do. There was no casserole to squish. There was no house to go to. And I know it was the pandemic and a lot of people were at it, but people still had to do drive-bys on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and all that stuff. I did none of it. I did zero. And it was the best Christmas I've ever had in my fucking life.
You cried because you were just so happy?
I think that's why. I woke up on Christmas morning and I'm like, This is beautiful.
It's a Christmas miracle.
There's no one here but me to ruin my day. I don't have to deal with anybody else's problem, and I don't have to kiss an aunt, and I don't have to go fucking play Thanksgiving or Christmas roulette with anybody, and I don't have to go, oh, it's nice to see it, because it really
did
wasn't nice to see everybody.
Did you open your did you open your bedroom window and ask a homeless guy, hey, homeless guy, what day is it? And he was like, fuck you. And you're like, yes.
Fuck you, too.
That's keep for everybody.
Here's some hash.
I'm gonna throw you the gift of Christmas dope.
Yeah.
But that's what it was. My kids split at like 1 o'clock. We were happy. There wasn't an argument. No one was fucking hurrying because we got to get out of the house by one. There was none of that. And
a football game on TV.
There were a lot of football games. There were basketball games on TV. I watched the entire Ted Lasso series on Apple TV. Then,
that's a good show.
Oh, fuck. One of the greatest shows of all time. I watched Ted Lasso. I watched The Boys. Have you guys watched The Boys yet? Have you seen
The Boys?
Fuck. One of the
love
greatest,
The Boys.
One of the greatest series in the history of series that I never. I watched treasure hunting shows.
Where's
I watched
the
History Channel.
On, what network is that on? The Boys.
Prime
up here.
Yeah. Prime. It's Prime down there too.
Got it.
Even if you're not a superhero person, Aaron, you'll enjoy it.
So I'm a superhero person.
So as I'm
okay, you'll love it.
As I'm explaining my Christmas to you, I'm looking at all three of you trying to pretend like this doesn't sound awesome.
Actually, it does sound awesome. You didn't have to get dressed up in your jacket and scarf and go out into the snow.
No.
There's no casserole being squished. There's no bag wine.
I didn't disappoint anybody with a gift this year. Not
you
one
slept
person.
In as long as you wanted. The kids showed up. You had a good time. They fucked off.
Yeah. It
was a dream. You had your dream Christmas, Dean. You were living the dream.
I masturbated on the couch Christmas Day.
Win. That's a win.
In front of the tree.
I don't have a tree. I had a Christmas ficus, but I yanked it in front of the ficus 2-3 times.
Wow.
Because
that's just candle wax, honey.
That's fantastic.
And so that's why I wanted to ask you guys, like, does any of it sound more awesome than your Christmas?
It doesn't sound awesome enough. And I'll tell you why. I ignored my immediate family, my two kids and my wife. We did our thing. I completely ignored every friend and family member that I have from like the 22nd to like yesterday. Mm-hmm. I just like didn't. And I felt British.
I've been doing that for years. It's a strong move.
You know, and what I mean by that, and
do you guys ever sit there in your loneliness and go, why am I doing this?
No, that sounds bad. What I mean by that is I didn't care that I saw my family or friends or communicating with it all. That's what I mean by British. Right? So
I'm British, and I can tell you that's not like an analogy. It's a fact. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I loved every second of not being accountable to anybody else other than myself. But having said that, I mean, you know, I haven't really been in a relationship with someone where I'm like, ooh, Christmas is going to be great this year. So
the strongest move I ever made was moving away from my family. So we don't do the whole family thing. I've got the wife and the kids and that's it. And we're in Edmonton and the rest of our family is in BC and and I highly recommend it.
Are you British? Are you British?
Are you?
I'm not British.
James feels British. Dean is British. Yeah. I'm married to a Brit. Yeah. What's your excuse?
I thought I was a Scottish German forever.
And Kenyan. He's Kenyan. I know it.
And then my mother informed me that we're actually Irish when she retired at a retirement party. And she was baffled by my shock because I was like, what? I thought
that
I was.
That makes sense though, Locke, because based on your alcohol abuse, that would make sense.
Well, and not only that, I'm not fucking German either. Apparently I'm Polish. So I went from being Scottish.
Jesus Christ.
Scottish German.
I'm half Polish.
Yeah. Sorry, I thought he said Portuguese.
Nothing shakes your family tree like finding out in your 40s your entire natural history is a fucking lie.
She named me Lachlan. Like that, how Scottish is that? And she's like, well, actually, we're Irish. And I'm like, I'm fucking almost 50, and you're just telling me this? Like what? She goes, yeah. And she goes, well, if you want the worst news, you're Polish, not German. And I'm, what? Anyway,
I didn't. Polish are great people.
Yeah. I like the Polish.
Hey, why can't you give Polish girls a vibrator? Because they always chip their teeth. Also, my wife is Polish. I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, you're safe.
Does it allow you to tell those jokes? If you're married,
she can't hear me, thank God. Because as the sitcom husband, if she heard me, then I would have to do things to make up for it.
Yes.
While she berates me and
blowjobs are good
and withhold sex, and then tells me I need to go fold the laundry, and then some people laugh in the background. Right.
That'd be us.
That would be my kids. Actually.
Oh, but they laugh.
We can be
too.
The laugh track.
Yeah.
But shut up, Dad, you loser.
I feel you, Locke. And it's funny because my parents had their 50th wedding anniversary, 50 years, like long fucking time to be married. And they really love each other. And they're like the nicest people you'll ever meet. I love them dearly. They're like two of my great friends, which is really cool when you get older, if you're friends with your mom and dad. But we had this family Zoom call where like family members that I hadn't seen in 25, 30 years were on this call, right? And I didn't recognize half of them. I was like, who are these fucking people? Am I related to that person?
Are these like the crazy Christians that you're related to?
No, these are, I don't know. I couldn't tell you where they're from. I think somewhere in Saskatchewan. I think somewhere in Alberta. And I think somewhere in British Columbia. I don't know. There was a point where there was a child on the screen during my parents' 50th wedding anniversary Zoom call, where
disgusting,
where I literally said, who's that? Then the person that had the child said, that's my granddaughter. And I go, oh, that's cute. What's your name? She goes, I'm your cousin.
Yeah, that'll happen.
That would be me.
Dean, is your mom and dad, is your dad explaining the being married to your mom for 50 years like the weather? It's 50 years, feels like 100.
No, they like each other and stuff. Yeah. Like they hold hands together. My dad calls her his girlfriend. They go on dates all the time. They have date nights in the basement where they, you know, get a charcuterie tray and a bunch of soft, chewy food because of their teeth.
Sorry.
You think they're so funny.
It sounds like code.
They puree a steak. And then
it's tube steak. You got to work for the gravy.
They puree
straws that twist each other. And they drink the steak through the straw.
Yeah. And my mom's got this part on her back. She's like, I can't get the Bengay back there. And my dad's like, oh, get it, love. And he's back there rubbing it. That's just how they are. Like, and
your parents are extra on Peppa Pig, man. That's awesome.
No, that's who they are. But then I had this Christmas. It was right before Christmas. Then I had this Christmas. And I thought, you know, this is one of the world's greatest, this pandemic is one of the world's great excuses to actually do Christmas the way you wanted to do it this year, as opposed to what you were forced to do every year. There's a bright side.
Agreed.
I actually enjoy going back to Buffalo and seeing my family. We have a large family. I don't think anyone's
ever said that.
I've never heard anyone say, I actually like going back to Buffalo. I've never heard that sentence.
That isn't my family of all things. Right. Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, Christmas is a big deal. I just get to see my family I don't see very often. Mm-hmm. We go to a couple Sabre games. We'll go to the Anchor Bar, get some wings. We'll, we'll go ice skating downtown Buffalo. There's a rink there where the Odd used to be. It's kind of fun.
I actually like Buffalo. I used to go there all the time to shop. They had the best flea markets ever. I used to get so much clothes at the Buffalo flea market when I was in high school, like garbage bags full of clothes for like nothing. And then you wear them all when you cross the border, so you don't have to claim anything.
Buy clothes at the flea market and guns.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, it was crazy. I went to the flea market in Buffalo where you could get literally a 9mm and oranges like right next to each other. Seriously. No word of a lie.
This flea market thing, because I've never lived in Eastern Canada. I've been in Western Canada my whole life, but I've actually heard people talk about Buffalo and the flea market.
Yeah, the flea market's famous.
Yeah,
that's fucked up though. Would you like a Glock with your mandarins? What?
Yeah, they do. I'm telling you, I went there and they had oranges next to the guns, and on the other side of the guns, it was like homemade granola bags. And I'm like, oh, we're in the G section of the flea market.
And then ammunition.
Yeah,
guns. And then cucumbers.
No, ammunition's next to the apples because they did it all. If you've ever been, the flea market's done by like alphabetical order, right? So it's the most fucked up thing I've ever seen. Speaking of fucked up, did you guys see that we're going to get definitive information about aliens and UFOs in the next 182 days or whatever it is?
I'm fully in.
You sent that to us this week, and there's a little thing in this bill that they just passed in the United States, and this little thing, it says, oh yeah, by the way, we're going to uncover every alien anything that ever happened in the United States in the next 4 months, 6 months. Who isn't excited about that shit?
Well, I want to know why. Well, I know people. Why. It was because of COVID or whatever. But so 2 years ago, the fighter jet footage of the Tic Tac UFO was released. Mm-hmm. And then early 2020, like just before the pandemic or right at the same time or whatever it was, the Pentagon confirmed the videos that were leaked in a year before that or whenever that was, and said that they believe that the crafts are not made of this world. So the Pentagon itself was basically admitting that aliens exist, and nobody cared. Like, not one person cared.
I thought the same thing, James.
But I think the reason why they released the footage, I think the reason why the Pentagon released that statement, and I think the reason why they're going to release more information is because the Pentagon and the NSA and the CIA and NASA, they're all afraid that Trump is going to start leaking all the shit that he knows. So what they're trying to do is control that. Because you know, if he goes out, he's going to be like, I'm telling you, it's fantastic. They got these ships. They're the greatest fucking ships you've ever seen. They come from, I don't know, these planets and the Armedia, you know, the Androgynous galaxy, you know,
something. The Androgynous galaxy.
Yeah, right. So you can either have that or like, or now, you know, the proper authorities telling us the lies that we're used to hearing.
Right? Lock. So,
a lot of people think it's Trump. A lot of people think the reason this stuff is coming out is because of Trump. Exactly what James said.
In what way? He wants to burn it all to the ground before he leaves and destroy every norm that we've ever experienced? Because that's his goal. And if that's the case, this is the one thing that Trump will do that I'm super excited by.
Well, there's also that Israeli former defense minister that said that we're not only being visited by aliens, but we're actively negotiating with them. Like, America and the United States are working with them, and they're learning about our planet, and we're using technology that they've given us.
He said there's a space federation. So there's like, right. Yeah.
He's not even the first defense minister to say that. I can't remember his name, but the former Canadian defense minister in like 2004 at some conference said the exact same thing. And he said that there's like six different races of alien beings and all this. And everyone said he was a crackpot. And now this Israeli guy says the same thing, and he's 86, so I guess you can make the argument that he might be a little bit of a crackpot too. But and now this news that they're going to come out with all this other information, I think.
Well, I want to see the evidence. I want to see what they're going to release. If it's just text,
I want a body
information on paper or on digital form, whatever. I don't care. I want to see an alien shaking hand with Nixon and smoking a big fat doobie. Like, I want to see the ship landing on the White House lawn, and then they're like, "Hey, the aliens are here!" Like, I want to see that shit. That's what
I agree. I don't want to see some fucking document that's redacted, right?
Or like a fuzzy picture with like a blurry little Tic Tac or something with a. It looks like
that
a
footage
sphere.
Was pretty awesome. It was awesome.
But listen, do you know how many deep fake videos I've seen where I'm like, that has to be real? Obama has to be a white supremacist, like that, you know, like that. And so I can't discern whether or not any of it's true or not. Like, I had this argument with someone the other day where they were telling me, hey, listen, my light just go out. I think it did. Hey, listen, here's the deal. Trump is going to still win this election on June the 6th or January the 6th. They're going to stand up and they're going to take him out. It's going to be incredible. You got to watch this thing. And I'm like, you don't believe any of that, dude. She's like, oh, fuck. Yeah, I sure do. I really believe all that stuff. And I'm like, you know, he's going to release all the alien information in about 6 months too, right? Like, that just got okay. And she's like, I don't believe that.
You know what I'd rather see? I'd rather see video footage of him pissing on hookers, to be perfectly honest. I'd rather see that footage. That's the footage I want to see.
I do too. And I want to see a dead body. I want to see alien tissue. I want to see a spacecraft.
Spacecraft.
I want to see
the spacecraft landing.
And but then do we know if they're going to? Do we know if they're going to actually put out videos of these spacecrafts or like pictures of people or definitive evidence? Like,
we don't know anything.
Everything I've read said they're going to finally uncover a whole bunch of different rumors, and they're going to, you know, give you receipts of things that have happened so that we can rest assured there is going to be some kind of fucking exhibit of alien dick.
You know what? I think they're going to incrementalize the data that comes out. So they're going to first acknowledge the existence, and that'll be it for like a year.
Would you guys,
let me tell you what I think, guys, really quick. And this is going to blow your mind, because I've been thinking this for years. This footage of the space, the fighter video, governments of the world slowly starting to come out and go, okay, we got some information, we got some video, we're gonna, in 182 days we're gonna do this and this. They're softening up the population of the world to the fact that there are aliens. Now, are they doing this because the aliens are maybe like, hey, in 2021 or 2022 or whatever it is, we're gonna like straight up fucking land on your planet and help you because you're all a bunch of fuck ups. Your planet collectively is a gigantic collection of fucking fuck ups, and we're going to help you out. And so if they soften us up, when they do land, there won't be mass hysteria, which I believe there would be now. So, but if they soften us up for a couple of years, soften up the meat, you know, then when they do land, they're like, oh yeah, we know they're here. And they say that,
you know, far right conservatives don't even like black people. You think they're going to like aliens? They're going to fucking want to shoot them. They're going to like, you know,
but these aliens could say to the governments, look, if you shoot at us, that would be very, 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 very bad.
Yeah.
Because we've mastered space travel. So you're going to shoot at us with your little bullets?
You know,
I tell you what, man, I ain't putting my trust in nothing that don't bleed red. You know what I'm saying? Red. They bleed green. What the shit is that?
So, no, if they did surround the planet now, people would go crazy. It'd be a mass hysteria.
Well, I don't think that my understanding is there's, it's not going to be like Independence Day, right? It's going to be like
Arrival.
Yeah, it'll be like Arrival where
they hang over a city.
Because they found a monolith in Toronto the other day, down in Lakeshore.
Those monoliths are pissing me off.
Yeah, I'm bored of them already. Fuck the monolith.
Yeah.
Whoever puts those monoliths up, the fucking joke's over. It was cool once. Like the gingerbread monolith in San Francisco, that was the fucking dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Do you guys remember when Val Kilmer's head was seen everywhere in Toronto for like 3 years, no matter where you went downtown? You could go like this and you'd see like three Val Kilmer heads somewhere in the distance.
No.
You guys don't remember that?
No.
Well, maybe right, well, Val Kilmer, he's an alien.
Fuck all you guys.
You've been walking among us and Val Kilmer's one of them.
No.
Yeah, that's right.
he
was Donald Trump's wiper too that one time.
No, he wasn't. Right?
Or something.
But do you think that's crazy, like to think that like the governments of the world need 3-4 years to soften up the population of the planet to the fact that these things are real, they're around, they exist in other galaxies and other planets and other universes, so when they do come we're like, oh yeah, okay, cool.
Locke, what do you think?
I totally agree with Derek. I've been predicting a Arrival type UFO encounter where the whole world knows about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where it's not just, you know, a fighter pilot saw a Tic Tac, or, and I'm not disparaging that because I totally believed that guy, or some guy that worked on, you know, alien crafts in Vegas back in the 80s. I think it's going to be, there's a fucking spaceship and it is hanging over Moscow right now. And every news agency, I think there's going to be something like that. But what I like about Darren's theory is that it gives it some context as to why it explains why we are being fed a little bit of information right now. And that does make sense. That completely makes sense.
Especially if there is
some Federation and they've already been in communication, like select people that they could trust that weren't going to lose their shit or talk about it. Mm-hmm. We're actually in touch with another alien being, right? Fucking crazy, but there's also a bunch of people among us that think that some guy walked on water and turned water into wine, right? So, I mean,
yeah, I believe there's aliens before I believe Jesus Christ died for our sins. I'll tell you that right now.
Jesus was just a Teamster. He was just a union guy. That's it. He was just all got fucked up. Right? You guys remember, I think
Jesus was just a Teamster. That's a fucking T-shirt, Lock. Let's make them.
It really is. Yeah, all right. Hey, that's mine. I'll talk to Manny. Fucks. Put it on a wife beater thing because Jesus fucking with the Mary Magdalene shit, motherfucker. Anyways.
James, you had some really good ideas today.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I have a better one now. And so I think what happened was, do you remember back in the day, I can't remember, it was in the 50s or 40s or something, maybe even before that, when they the radio broadcast for War of the Worlds caused this panic?
I was born in 73, so saying, do you remember the 40s and 50s?
Well, do you remember the story? Do you remember
40s, I think.
So anyways, so there was a broadcast, radio station broadcast War of the Worlds, and there was thousands of people thought that the world was actually being invaded by aliens, right? Yeah. And I think that the government decided back that, you know, back then that was now the archetype of how they would treat things like aliens and whatever else. And then, so I think it's a really archaic idea that we're all going to go fucking crazy if we find out aliens exist. So I think that's just like an out of date strategy, but it probably exists because the technology that they have that we don't know about is probably decades ahead, while our response to all of the scary stories, the strategy to deal with our response is decades behind. So they wanted to widen that gap so we would have no idea what's going on. I don't think they're going to like introduce an alien guy. I think what they're going to do is they're going to release files that they already have. They're going to admit that they believe that they exist. But what I don't think they're going to do is risk some world war, because if say the alien shows up at the White House or Biden or the American government admits that they've been in contact with an alien, Russia is not just going to be like, okay, this looks like a good opportunity for unity, everybody. I think they're going to probably, you know,
let's
go to the UN and be like, how can we guarantee the security of our country if our rivals and our adversaries are dealing with alien beings who have this crazy technology? We don't feel safe. Like, it's not going to be something that they're going to want to fuck around with. So I don't think they're going to go too far.
That's assuming that the aliens would go to Moscow and be like, "Yeah, fuck the Americans."
Great place.
Doesn't matter if they go to Moscow or not. If any government in the world says that we're in contact with aliens, then whoever's the adversaries of those government will say we don't feel secure. So it doesn't even matter who it is.
You know, we're talking about it. You know, what's crazy is that we're actually these are four sane, fact-based individuals that are talking about an alien species. That we're going to meet in like 6 to 10 months. But we're all pretty fucking normal. And show of hands, who here believes in an alien species of walking, talking fucking weirdos? You do. You got one on your arm. Locke does big time. James, you?
Yeah,
I believe Portuguese people exist for sure.
That's on my arm too, Dean.
Oh, an alien. You really do believe in it, don't you?
I'm big time, yeah.
And see, Locke brought up a good point. Do you believe Noah put two of every animal in the ark?
No, only children believe that bullshit.
But you believe in aliens?
Yes.
Or if you believe that, how do you have trouble with aliens? Like,
aliens make sense because, what do they call it? What kind of planets do they call them? The ones in the in the Goldilocks zone. What is there, like 80 billion, they think?
Yeah.
The planet like Earth?
There's four, between 400 and 500 billion stars just in the Milky Way galaxy, just our galaxy. And there's trillions of galaxies, but keep just the Milky Way galaxy, about 450 billion stars.
So the chances that there's aliens is like a million percent greater than the chances that Noah's Ark bullshit even existed, you know?
I think
we can't discover these lands is because there's distance between these planets and stars is so great. We're talking 20, 30, 40, 100 light years between sometimes even thousands. The galaxy itself is 100,000 light years across.
Wouldn't you be instantly scared, though, if an alien race was able to come here from 200 light years away?
Can I answer that?
I would be fucking petrified. I'm like, listen, I don't know. What else do these guys have?
I'd be a little worried, but let me tell you why I wouldn't be really scared at all. Because any race of beings that mastered space travel, whether they were able to travel faster than the speed of light, or they were to find these Einstein wormholes to get to parts of the galaxy really, really quickly, have graduated past what guys like Carl Sagan have called the age of quarrel. We're right now in the age of quarrel. We're fighting each other. We're constantly at each other's throats. There's wars and there's pestilence and disease. And an alien race would have gotten past that. They would have evolved to to great greatness and gotten past the silly age of Quarrel to the point where they're traveling across space to other parts of the galaxy. They would come here and be like, look, you guys are just so dumb. Like,
what if they came here and said, we're going to enlighten you, but it requires an interesting set of circumstances where this alien guy bangs you in your hoop. That's how they do it there.
I don't want to know the science behind him banging me in the hoop.
Oh, that's just, it's regular.
I want to know the size of his dick.
I want to know, like, is his dick the all-knowing thing that needs to be inside of me?
What if that's the case and they show us a picture of an alien dick first to soften us up? They're like, hey.
Yeah. If it's just a finger.
If it's a finger, I'm fine with it. If it's a horse.
Hey, wait a second. Guys, have some pride. You want at least like a wrist, right? Like, Jesus Christ. What's the point?
I'd want to know the science. Like, we'd laugh, but I like, okay, so if you put this thing in my butt, I become enlightened.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be like, so it's
like Spock. It's like Spock, where Spock would touch your face and he would like see into your life and cure you from ailments. Spock would touch your face. But in this case, you get Rogered in the bum.
It's not like that at all.
How do you know? You don't know that.
You don't know that at all.
You're telling me you exist. This is all hypothetical. The fact they exist is hypothetical. So there is a very good chance that the only way to enlightenment is to get raped.
Well,
that would be unfortunate, but I'd go for it.
But listen, you know how we visit genealogy.com and the data banks for our DNA to find out what part of Africa our ancestors came from?
Mm-hmm.
That's all these aliens might be doing. They might just be finding out, oh, fuck, we're from Earth. And then they come and they visit like tourists. I bet you if you looked in those ships, they're wearing like Hawaiian shirts.
No.
And they're just there to see. Like, fuck, this. Are you sure this is
one
the right
of them
place?
Forgot
it
the camera.
Scarborough. It says Scarborough right here. This is where
they forgot the camera. You got to go back and get it.
Fuck.
Yeah.
We've been on the road for 200 light years. You forgot the fucking camera?
Yeah. This is just a 15 block.
I was trying, but you kept on yelling at me. I mean, they have Walmart to get a camera. I don't got to go back 100,000 light years to get your goddamn keys and camera.
The best part is the whole argument.
These guys are from New York. These guys are from New York. I don't understand these aliens. New York accent.
But it's telepathic. That's the funny part. No one can hear it.
That'd be awesome. If you could just look at someone without saying it out loud, like, go fuck yourself.
If aliens are looking at us, though, and they're trying to determine whether it's a good time or a bad time, just sort of to piggyback what Darren was saying, to visit us and maybe enlighten us, I think we might be in trouble just based up purely on the fact that 74 fucking million people voted for Trump.
Can I also add a little exhibit B to that argument, too? It's my favorite video of the Christmas break. It might be my favorite video of the year because I fucking live and breathe Schadenfreude.
The year's one day old.
I know it is. No,
favorite video of the year.
My last year, not this year, not the year we're in. Oh, the year we just thankfully came
out.
Because
this is my favorite podcast of 2021. I just want to let you guys know.
Mine too, James.
This might be mine as well. Actually, it might be my favorite one of 2020 too. But I want to play this for you because if aliens saw this interaction, they'd be like, fucking blow it all up. This happened in the United States a couple of days ago. It's this
rape that guy first.
I want them to rape this white guy first. Yeah. Violently. Yeah. Because
use the big cock.
Bring in the alien who has Russian parents. So
I need you guys to stop doing that.
So this guy here, with our back to us, he's black. The guy in front of him is white. This happened prior to Christmas, like 2 days before Christmas. I want you to watch this interaction, and I hope if there are aliens watching right now, this is what you have to deal with when you come here. This is how white people treat black people in the United States. So
fuck your mama, nigga. Fuck your mama.
You're gonna pop him.
I live about 400 Oxford Avenue, two blocks away. And you know what's crazy? I'm gonna walk to you. I'm gonna walk right to my house for you, bro. Oh God, I'm not trying to disrespect you, bro. I'm not. I'm gonna say nigga all day, all every day. Are you kidding me? Where are you from, nigga? Where are you from? Where
are you from? Him.
Where the fuck you from,
yeah, nigga?
You from here? Get the fuck out of here, you a clown, nigga. Oh God, you a clown, nigga. You from here? You a clown.
Here it comes.
Gonna smack you with that? Smack me! Smack me!
He's asking.
He dropped it on the
Here comes Matt.
Yeah, you got yours, buddy.
Here comes.
Call me another fucking nigga. I don't give a fuck. All
right, man, you learned this lesson, man. No
best part's coming up.
Call me another nigga. Call me another fucking nigga.
Okay.
He's crying. Everything's okay.
Okay, good. You doing now?
You're good.
I asked you not to call me a nigga.
Seems like a simple request. I asked you not to call me that word, and he wouldn't stop. And what he got hit in the face with was a twisted tee. The hardest I've ever seen anybody get hit in the face with a can of anything, by the way.
And this video is fucked up on a lot of levels. He gets up and challenges the guy. Comes at him like this.
Yeah.
Like, you hit me in the face with a twisted tee. Now I'm going to fight you, a guy twice my size.
That's what I said. Meth. Yeah. That's got to be meth, right?
Watch this.
For sure, he's on something. Absolutely.
Watch this. Play that. Play it just from the part where he gets hit in the face. It is.
I mean, that guy's huge. I wouldn't.
Well,
I mean,
he's huge, but he's
guy,
also
I'm
got a
fight that, dude.
Like, the guy's got a weapon in his hand, and he's like, and he's begging for it.
Yeah, but Dana, we live in the COVID era. You can't hit him with your hand.
That's good.
Gets right back up.
And then he's
back up and comes at him.
And then he's like, put him up, bud. Toots. Let's go Dukes.
Wow.
Go Dukes right now.
Yeah, you got yours, buddy.
The peanut gallery.
You got yours, buddy. You got yours.
And he comes at him. Look at him.
You know who he looks like? Do you remember the
fucking ragdolls him?
Do you guys remember the kid that was Kiefer Sutherland in Flatliners?
Mm-hmm.
The really spooky kid? He looks like that guy, but grown up and shit didn't go well. You know?
It clearly didn't go well at all.
The guy didn't hit him earlier. He took a lot of abuse for a long time before he finally unloaded.
What a fucking swing!
I like
though.
The fact that Twisted Tea was trending for like 3 days after that video.
Oh, that was the best promotional thing that ever happened to that company. I've never heard of.
Yeah.
I already forget the name of them.
I wonder if the police eventually showed up. I wonder what the
I haven't heard anything, so I think it was just one of those, this guy got his mouth whooped and he kind of took it and went, yeah, okay, I learned. But you can't retrain a racist like that guy. Fucking to stand there and say that to a guy of color is the grossest shit I've ever fucking seen in my life, which is why I love the violence.
So my question was, because I don't know the answer to that, does he, and I'm not talking about the use of the N-word in his like vernacular there, but I'm talking about his overall delivery. Is that how that guy speaks? Like, when he gets up in the morning, does he talk to his friends and family with that tone? And that delivery?
There's all these pockets in the States. There's all these areas in the States. It's random, I think, but like, I've been to places in like Myrtle Beach, for example, and places in Ohio, where all of a sudden there'll be like these group of white kids and they're like hip hoppers or whatever, and they'll use the N-word with the A sound at the end, like they're black people. And I've talked to them sometimes, like I think twice in my life I've asked them like, hey, are you sure you should be using that word? Like, is that acceptable by black people in this culture? And they're like, some of them, yeah, some of them no, but like, you know, it's a subjective thing for some sort of like subcultures in the States. It's weird. I think it's weird. Cause
yeah, it's bizarre. Like, It looks like he was acting. It doesn't
like
feel
does he
like,
you're asking, does he call his grandma and talk like that to her on the phone?
Yeah.
Yo, grandma, what up?
Yeah.
I'm right here. I'll walk to you, grandma. I'll walk to you. Say hi, get some cookies, grandma. Oh yeah. Is that like
I don't know where your purse went, grandma, I swear.
It's like I used to wonder that about James Blunt. Does he talk like that to women?
That was my nickname in high school.
James Blunt?
You're beautiful.
Like, does he talk like that in general when his mom calls? Hi, mom. Like, does he, you know, that's what I used to wonder. But I
come on, you're beautiful.
Speaking of which, I don't know if people know this. James, who we introduced at the start, is a dope ass rapper. And he's Locke and I and Darren are part of this little DM thing. And he sent us some of his raps over the holidays.
You got to stop saying the word rap.
Well, really. What is it? What is it?
Well, I think it's hip hop, but like,
you know, it's a rap. You're a dope ass rapper. What am I going to call it?
You know, here's the thing. Let me preface this by saying that I realized the other day that I've been writing rhymes for like 33 years. It's the longest I've done anything. No, I never tried to like make it a career or nothing like that. Like I just
rhyming for 33 years and you still suck. It's amazing.
No, that's the thing. He's not like Locke and I got these emails I'm like, that's surprisingly good. Were you not impressed by it, Locke?
Well, I got to preface.
I want to hear it.
My enjoyment of it based on the fact that I might be there's a host of a country music station in town that might be whiter than me, but I might be the whitest guy in Canada. So I'm not sure if I qualify as somebody that can be making a judgment on what James does, but
I think you guys are overthinking this just a little bit.
I was blown away by what I heard. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying that. I legitimately listened to these and I was playing them for the guys in the room too, going, this is a guy on the Zoom thing I do with Dean every once in a while. This guy's good.
Well, I want to play some. This is a song called The Code, which you sent us. And you sent us a couple of them. And I watched the movie Soul yesterday. Have you seen the movie Soul on Disney Pixar? Have you guys watched that?
I started to watch it with my kids, but they ran out of the room.
You got to watch it.
Can I say something
this
first?
This is why the movie was made. It's for people like you who are incredibly talented that don't believe in themselves. This is really good
off,
shit.
Man, I believe in myself. What are you talking?
You said you've been doing it for 33 years and haven't done anything with it. Doesn't sound like it.
No. What are you talking? That's like saying like if you've done yoga for 25 years, but you're not a yogi. Then why did you even do yoga to begin with? Like I don't know. It's just.
But I didn't even know you did this. That's the thing. Like I knew that you
who
had.
Who cares if you know? I know. I rhyme for me.
Okay. Well, let's. I rhyme for me.
Wait. Hold on. Before you play, everything that I've recorded is with a cell phone and with like a desktop speaker, so it's like true thrifty pandemic recording.
Don't shit whatever. On it before we play it.
I'm not
sure. It adds to it though.
Yeah, no, because there's all these tech heads out there that are like, why is the sound so tinny? Like those fucking guys.
This is dope ass rapper. This is dope ass rapper James DeFiore and his dope ass rap. Is it called a rap?
It's condescending. It's patronizing what you're doing.
Quiet. It's called The Code. Have a listen. Doesn't even sound like you. You sound like this guy at the Hasty Mart.
Those are instruments. There's no one actually singing yet, Dean.
I don't know, but I mean when it here, like when it starts.
I've never been in love. I've been jealous, and push became shoves. I read it might have to do with being neglected, infected with an ailment of not feeling protected. But it's a symptom of many things. Check it. I can't imagine no more. What's that about? It's been 10 years since my heart was taken out, and maybe she left me feeling crazy. I used to call her baby. I did love her, but sucked her rent alone. And what I should have done was dump her. Like the rest, I felt it in my chest, but waited till she fucked me.
I fuck up here.
I know that meant to be was not for us. Instead, I wish that I could have it anyways, because I'm a glutton for shit. I'm something of a prick. I'm inconsiderate. All I got is my mic and my scripts to flip. Consonants, verbs, apostrophes, words, metaphors, allegories, and stories you never heard. Similes, double meaning, and brainstorming sessions, dissecting the code inside the life lesson. Consonants and verbs.
I like it.
Stories I do too. Darren's a professional musician. He'll tell you if he got rhymes.
I'm wishing on a store like in Hollywood Squares, but all I ever get is X's and it's back to the lair. It's not really fair, but that's life for some, especially the ones who grow up to be bums. Just like my teacher said, I feel like a crumb, a scrap from the table outside the kingdom. I'm a squire, a jester, this mad second guesser is a microphone blesser. Looking for is better. Happy, don't laugh. I know it sounds cheesy. Alone empathetic, it's never that easy. Blessed with vocals, cursed with drawbacks. My own worst enemy, I'm all that and some. I fiend for her hips, the backgrounds, the drummer faces, the bass concepts, all the ones I make to offset the pain inside my head. I stare at emptiness on the right side of the bed. Consonants, verbs, apostrophes, words, metaphors, allegories, and stories you never heard. Similes, double meaning, and brainstorming sessions, dissecting the code inside the life lesson. Consonants, verbs, apostrophes, words.
So you can bring that down. Bring that down. It doesn't matter. Bring that down, Sean, if you can. You never heard. Darren?
Yeah.
What do you think? He's got rhymes.
He's got rhymes. He's got, he can spit. He can spit for sure.
That's a professional. This guy hangs out with real musicians, not guys with iPhones.
I hang out with farmers, you fucking idiot.
I like it. I think it's good. Really good.
It's really good.
Got a style.
Like you, sure. You got a guy in Alberta who had, I don't even think he knows what that was, and he liked it. You got a professional musician who would tell you if it sucked, who said it's really good and you spit rhymes. And then you got me. I had Public Enemy play one of my shows a couple years ago.
Chuck D called me a racist.
Yeah, I know he did. Go ahead. I'm a massive Public Enemy fan.
I love Public Enemy.
I am a massive Kendrick guy. That was really good. Really good. Like impressive. Like I wanted to tell you that. I want to encourage
you. Record that on your iPhone? That's what you recorded on?
I recorded it on my Samsung S10. I placed it and I propped it beside the desktop speaker, and then I situated myself like a foot and a half away, and then just
Where did you get the sample?
I took it from YouTube, but I talked to the producer guy and I told him what I was doing. He was like, "Yeah, okay, promo, blah, 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 you know." So
you want to give him that promo now or no?
I forget his name. I do. No, but hold on. But what I'm going to do is I'm buying the beats. So I'm assembling the midlife mixtape. That's what I'm calling it, the midlife mixtape. And I'm assembling like 12 tracks, and it's all going to. And some of them are going to be like ballads. I sent that ballad to you, right?
Yep. Yeah, I got the ballad.
The YouTube one. And I'm going to make like 12 to 15 tracks, and so my kids can make fun of me when I'm dead.
Right? I can make fun of you right now.
No, they can't because it's too dope.
I think you should be proud of it.
Yeah,
honestly.
I do too.
And I've been around too long to not be honest with people. So,
But you know what? A friend of mine pointed out. So I didn't realize until the other day that since April or March, I've been rhyming and writing for like an hour a day since like March. My buddy's like, dude, you're like an Olympian. Like you're on an Olympian schedule. This is what they do. Like, so it's like, it feels neat to just, I'm a better rapper now than I was when I was doing it all the time when I was in my 20s.
You know? Here's the big question though, guys. James, your music is dope, but what are the aliens going to think? You should be asking yourself that.
Nothing good.
And will you be able to sing with a huge alien cock in your ass?
Yeah. Oh, if they promise to give me one of those, I'll sing whatever they want. You know,
Moon River.
That's deep.
Yeah. Nice work, James. Imagine what your raps would be like if you were enlightened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All it takes is one quick alien wang in your hoop style, bud.
Well, like Locke said, it's got to be the finger penis. They got to have some mercy on it, butthole.
I hope these aliens have smaller dicks than us. I hope they're not as violent as us. And
but they can just telepathically give our girlfriends orgasms. You know, they'll just be like,
that'd be unfair.
Why can't they just teach us that? Like,
yes, right?
Like she shakes, and you're like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Then they'd be like that pickup artist, and all the feminists would hate the aliens because the aliens would be misogynists. That's what would happen. We all know that. Come on.
You're really overthinking this one.
I'm not. I'm just saying. That's the state of the world we live in right now.
I like the orgasm with the mind. That's something.
Aliens are canceled. That'd be the greatest.
Yeah. Can you imagine if any of those aliens are homophobic?
Oh, they're all hermaphrodites, so it doesn't matter.
Okay. Right? All right, guys. Listen, thanks for doing this. Locke. Cruise 95.7 morning guy in Edmonton. Please go listen to him if you're in Edmonton. I hope your New Year's was good. You seem to be okay. I hope your boy Jimmy's going to be all right. Little fella on your show.
Yeah. We were talking about that before we jumped on. That my co-host, the little guy, the little person.
Yeah.
He lets us call him a midget. He doesn't care. But it's not politically correct.
Does he wear an elf costume at Christmas? Because that'd be awesome. That'd be amazing.
Oh, he does. He does. Oh, he does the St. Patty's Day and all that shit, man. He's quite a character. He is quite a heavy drinker. And we were talking about him going from shit to fuck real quick, right? Like when he drinks. And he gets there quick, and then he maintains.
Yeah.
And he drinks me under the table all the time. Weighs half as much as I do, but can just... go.
In fairness, he can walk clear under the table.
Yeah. He's already under. Yeah. Yeah, that was good, James. Not just a rapper.
Yeah, you like that, huh?
He also has a really intriguing way of insulting little people. It's incredible.
I'll be here all week. Try the Red Bull, I guess.
Yeah. Well, listen, I hope you guys are all right. Listen, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to all of you. Appreciate catching up and seeing everybody's faces and talking about some fun stuff on a day where it's still pretty shitty outside. Encourage you all to stay safe. If you can, that'd be great. Especially you, Darren. Yeah. California is a fucking disaster right now.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
Yeah. Outside of that, I think I'm done. You guys good? Anything else you want to add?
Are we doing this on a regular basis?
Tuesdays. We just did this today because James
Tuesdays?
Could. Yeah. Yeah. Tuesdays.
That's right.
So this next Tuesday will be our
best rapper schedule, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, guys. That was a lot of fun.
Thanks, Locke. Appreciate you. Thanks, James DeFiore, Lachlan Cross for Cruise 95.7.
Good to see you guys again.
Edmonton, James DeFiore, dope ass rapper.
Thanks, Darren. Thanks, James.
From Killaloo, Hello. Ontario. Darren Pfeiffer from the... Thanks, buddy. Darren...
Thanks, Sean, behind the scenes.
Dangerous Darren Show on Adobe Radio and DeanBlundell.com. Thanks to our friend Sean Sargent, who is definitely behind the scenes making everything possible. Appreciate everybody. Thanks to Owners Box Fantasy Sports. Sign up now. You can win yourself a PS5. They're giving away PS5s. They're giving away like 100 Xbox Series X's just before Christmas. Now they're giving away a ton of PS5s, and it goes for like two more days. So go to ownersbox.com, register, refer a friend. You can enter as many times as you want. Sign up to play some
Look
Owners
at the
Box
size
Fantasy
of the
Sports.
In those underwears. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're looking at the underwear?
Well, I was just thinking of that rape thing.
Great.
I just fucked up your plug.
That's okay. Owners Box Fantasy Sports. Go to ownersbox.com. Register online right now, and you can play hockey. They got hockey coming. They got basketball now.
Get one free. Get an extra couple of inches.
We're not there yet. But yes. Go to ownersbox.com and play some fantasy. There's a ton of football. We're getting into the playoffs. It seriously will change your life. It's changed ours. Owners Box Fantasy Sports. Ed's Gitch, buy three, get one free. Gitch, you don't get to fill it out like that, but it looks like you do. I have a lot of these underwear. I don't look like that when I'm wearing them. I'll tell you that right now. But that little pouch in the front's perfect. It's like a sleeping bag for your nutsack. You put them in there, they stay away from everything, the sides of your legs. There's nothing worse than having one testicle stick or the tip of the penis lock. There's nothing worse. So what you want to do is get these, Gitch. I'm going to send you a bunch of these. Use promo code GITCH3. Go to edsfindimports.com. Yeah, I'll send them to you. Order four. You only have to pay for three with promo code GITCH3. Blue Microphones, the official microphone of DeanBlundell.com as well. Thank you to them and all of our partners. Thanks, Locke. Appreciate you. Thanks, Sean. Thanks to all our guests today. Stay safe. Do the right thing. Don't get too overwhelmed. It's just life. Take care. Bye. Da, da, da. Take care. Bye.